gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're in our third and final hour, and each and every Tuesday in our third hour, we are joined by Stan Deo from standeo.com. Go bookmark Stan's website. There you can get all of his and Holly's latest books, recent interviews, news content, and the show images site that Stan's put together for his appearances on this show, the Hagman and Hagman Report. Stan, it's great to have you back on, and I was checking out your show images page, and I know right where I want to start whenever we're done with the introduction and anything you want to say. Welcome to the show.
Good to be back again, alive and well. Looks like we're in a week of very interesting things.
You know, Stan, for the life of me, I was trying to find something to talk about. I got nothing. I got nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. No news. I mean, you think it's just boring. No,
you're
just
pulling
kidding.
My leg, I can tell.
Brother, have you ever seen anything like this?
No, I tell you what. Hey, in fact, I was so impressed with all the stuff going on, it reminded me of the movie with Burt Lancaster, so black and white, years ago. Was it 5 days or 7 days in May, something like that? Do you remember?
Seven days in May
when the...
Yeah. What the heck?
Well,
that's right.
In honor of that, at the very top of the show image page, first line, you'll see a little yellow line. It simply says, 7 products for 7 days in November in honor of the 7 days movie. Because it's that time of the American history, I think, when we're going to see something very weird happen. So, if you click on that, it'll take you to a subpage, and we have 7 products, 7 of our products, that are all at 25% off if people use the code that I'm going to give you right now. It's like a coupon code. It's 2017 Trump. That's next year when he takes office. So 2017, capital T-R-U-M-P, lowercase. So 2017 Trump, and if they put that in, having listened to your show, they'll get those discounts on those products. Now, back to the real stuff, okay?
It's rock.
Where do you want to start?
Well, no, I'm going to have to go to my safe place now that you mentioned Trump. So.
Well, I saw something on your website, on your show images page, Stan, that Eric the Tech and I watched here in the studio, and I kind of went over a few times and saw it from two different angles. Number 7, the ring clown and trumpet sounds over Jerusalem. This happened
right.
Maybe 3 weeks ago, I think. I saw the video maybe a month ago.
Yeah, early, I think it was October the 1st to the 6th, somewhere in there.
And folks, if you're listening on Global Star or on Blog Talk Radio, go to standeo.com. Go to the show images page. It's to the right of the microphone on the right-hand side of the website. If you scroll down a little bit, and number 7, and there you can find this interesting video of a ring cloud and a sound sounding like a trumpet over Jerusalem. Now, this was taken by two separate camera angles, and I don't know, I haven't clicked on your link yet, Stan, but I saw this two videos from people who posted this on YouTube, because people were saying this was a CGI event, a computer computer graphics initiated event, that this wasn't real. Interface? Computer graphics.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I don't believe it for a minute. Tell you what, it is real. And there are a number of things, because as you said, there are two different views of that, two different video recordings, and they have, just a second here, let me just get back over here where I want to be. I want to have a look at that thing while we're talking about it. That image that I've got there, if you click on the actual image of that ring cloud over Jerusalem, it'll take you to the best, highest resolution, crisp shot of that, or video of that effect, that I found on the internet. It's easier when you got a high-res image to see if they've been fiddling it a bit, and I don't think that that's a fiddle. There are just no signs of any green screen or, you know, chroma key drop-ins or anything, especially from two different angles. Now, the event, it can be explained as a rain cloud. You'll see over to the right of that images 8 and 9. In image 9, if you go to that page, it will explain how in a kind of a super cooled or almost freezing type point, water droplets in a cloud formation are suddenly triggered by a seed, a shock wave, all directions equally, and it starts all the little almost frozen ice droplets all around it to start crystallizing immediately, and it just chews a hole out of the cloud and drops down through the middle, and you can see in image 9 where that kind of black, you know, snout dropping out of there is the water condensate, the crystals now falling out to leave that hole. And, okay, so this is an explainable event, and if you look at image 8, it's a part of a video taken in Tunisia in 2014, where a jet flew over the area there, and you'll see 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 of these ring clouds in a row as the jet flew over. It either shocked the formation or some of its exhaust fell down and triggered a number of these to start dropping out over Tunisia. What is interesting, though, as Holly pointed out to me the other day, is the one over Jerusalem has, it is over Jerusalem at the same time, coincidentally, that these explainable trumpeting sounds, according to science, have all occurred all together. Now, seeing the sounds and the ring cloud together is quite unusual. And I don't buy this thing about it's a sum of various radio wave activity over the planet causing the trumpeting sounds. If it is, it is still weird that it occurred over Jerusalem when this perfectly natural event, a ring cloud, occurred. God uses things that are in the natural environment to, you know, produce signs and wonders for us. And to have this happen when everything is so tense in the world, shall I say, I can take this as a sign, you know, that something is about to happen.
Very interesting. And so while you say that there is a scientific explanation for the ring cloud, the shape of the clouds and the formation of the circles, there is not an explanation for the sounds to coincide with the ring cloud.
It's a coincidence of the two events, which are quite rare in themselves, occurring together over Jerusalem. And I just kind of think that that's the good Lord speaking to those of us that are listening. You know, he's here, things are happening. It reminds you of that trumpet sound. And looking at the election process and how close we are to the country coming unglued and in the world, it just is, to me, a personal type of sign.
Yeah. Now, one thing I noticed about the Jerusalem video, and I guess I looked at the Tunisia video, I'll have to look at it again, was inside the ring of this cloud, right around where, you know, the ring of clouds start and stop, the width of it in the circle. It looks, when they scrolled in on it, it looks like it's almost glowing a different color, if that makes sense. And almost like it's sparkling.
Are you talking about the video at number 8?
On number 7. I believe it's right towards the end, near where the sound comes in, where they get kind of close.
This brings up an interesting point, though. Look at the cloud there. And look at the clouds in the, you know, 8 and 9 images. You'll see that the outer ring, the outer rim of that circle that's cut into the cloud, is rather stable. It's formed. It's not distorting. But the one over Jerusalem, it looked as though it was streaming in from the outer ring into the center. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
That, and there was a color change on the video I saw, and it was very brief, and it looked like almost a, I don't know how to explain it, like a rainbow of colors that was coming out of the clouds that was being, like you said, not from the outer core, but from the inner core, almost being sucked in.
Yeah, and look at this thing over Jerusalem. I mean, where's the rest of the cloud formation? It was a lonely cloud or something. I mean, you know, it's not part of a long stretched cloud like anywhere else. It is unique. I mean, there's clouds in the background, so the thing's happening over Jerusalem. But, you know, this is just a very unique thing. I'm looking for that last frame for color changes like you're talking about. Are you talking about right in the center?
It must be a separate, the second video I saw. There must be that other video must be what really looks... in here, I think I found it. I'm not sure. I'll email this to you.
All right, I'll pick that up, have a look at it.
This one, other one's a minute 35, and I'm not sure if it's from a different angle. I'm going to check it out.
So it had more. Was it from the other angle on the other side?
I'm not sure. I'm going to look at it right now. But I know I saw two of these videos when they first came out, because I thought the same thing, you know, that this could be some kind of trick from a videographer. But there were two different vantage points. So, yeah, I'll email this to you. I think this is the one.
All right. Let me just check your... Okay, I'm just typing.
Yeah, this is the one. The very first 30 seconds, it kind of shows that hue. It's like a pink rainbow color hue that almost is pixelated in the clouds there. It's very interesting.
Have you emailed that to me yet?
Just sent it off.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if they put the two videos together. It looks like it's from two separate angles.
Right. Okay, I've got it here. I'm looking at it now. And is it,
but like you said, the cloud formation in Jerusalem is so different from the one in Tunisia or the other one, because there's no connecting cloud cover. That would create the circle.
Okay, now I'm in the first 17 seconds. And see how it's streaming, how the clouds are just tearing into the center type thing?
Mm-hmm.
You could say that's things condensing, but from where? From what? I mean, I see that. And just before the building comes up, it kind of changes color. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah. And it looks different than just normal clouds. It kind of had like a glow to it, if you will, inside that ring where the clouds were coming from. It looked almost like a pinkish glow. Maybe that's the sun. I'm not sure. But that was something that struck my eye the first time I watched it.
Over, what does that say down in the corner there? DV something X. Can you see what that says in the lower right-hand corner of that frame? It's a pink logo of some sort.
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
DVX Media.
Either a D or a COMB.
Media, like a professional company. CMB.
X Media. Yeah, see, Comb Media, it looks like. COMB.
Yeah.
CMB X Media. It's the channel of the YouTube. CMB X Media.
All right. Well, if you go down, about 49 seconds down there and look up at the sky again, it just shows you there's just nothing there to condense. And the only thing I can think of is that the water vapor is so, the humidity is so low in the sky over Jerusalem because it's dry, that maybe it's just condensing it out of a very thin layer of water that you can see through, because the center of that ring has got a ton of cloud, but it's not falling down. It's like Virga rain almost. It forms it, falls down below it, but then it becomes like a normal cumulus type cloud. Strange, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely strange, and it's still a mystery to me.
Well, it's dynamic, moving, and to me that's a special kind of ring formation, a drop ring that the Lord is in control of, because it draws your attention to all these filaments going in there. It's an exceptional drop ring video of all the drop rings that we can see, and there's only about five or six I found on the internet. So to me, as I said to start with, it's a sign to me. I accept that. It's pay attention. This is Jerusalem, And anyway, yes, interesting. If you go to those other images, 8 and 9, there is where I give you the examples. The other people can look at that. While we're on Israel, look at image 6.
Right.
That is an inscription in Arabic on an ancient Muslim mosque. They think they've dated it to 10th century A.D., but in it, it uses terminology that was used for, about before and up to that date, you know, like 10 centuries from the time of Christ up to then, in the Middle East, in Arabic, they called the Temple Mount where the temple was, not where the Dome of the Rock was or anything, but they used the term for that in Arabic in this document, which gives credibility and proves that these Arab Muslims at the time, you know, 10th century A.D., knew that the Temple Mount, where the Dome of the Rock was originally the Temple Mount for the Jewish temple. So it, you know, the Palestinians can, you know, go bite sand or something, because they don't have any argument that says that there was never a Temple of Solomon and David on that mount. This inscription of several others does prove that there's no argument that there was a temple there. I just think that's cool. You can read about it in the article there.
Yeah, definitely very interesting.
Hey, what do you think about all the earthquakes over in Italy?
I've been, people are saying that they're a precursor to something bigger. Now, whether it's the volcano.
I just want to, Joe, let me interject something here. Karen from Rome, if you're listening to this, please check in with us. We've been praying for you, Karen in Rome. We're very concerned. We haven't heard from you. Please check in with us. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, we've had a number of earthquakes in Italy over the past few weeks, up to 5, 6, and one was listed at 7, but I think they dropped it back down to 6.6 or 6.5. Definitely alarming, and you know, you have different people saying that they're precursors, others saying that, you know, the last one was the big one, others saying it shows volcanic activity, which, what is it, Mount Vesuvius? That erupted, that is such a threat to Italy if it erupts again. I don't know what to think. You know, there's so much going on in the world. It just seems like that's the least a thing to be concerned
Stan,
about.
Yeah, but how does that line up with prophecy, Stan? I'm sure it does, right?
What, just the earthquakes in Italy?
Specifically in Rome, Seven Hills. You know that? Yes.
Possibly.
Okay. All
it's
right.
You know, this area, the what do they call them? Apennines, A P E N N I N E S, the range of mountains. Anyway, that this goes through northern Apennines. Anyway, there's an article that Earthquake Kim sent me, which I haven't fully read, just because it just arrived a little bit ago, but. She's got an article there which is from the volcanocafe.org and the Appian Fault. And you can go there and look at an article showing the fault line running from the top of Italy down along the leg down to the boot, down to the toe almost. Now, I looked at that, and of course the image that you can click on image 5, it's an image I generated with Google Earth 3D to show this latest spate of earthquakes around the area there that it's talking about in Italy. You know, it's part of this long mountain range, and historically this happens every few hundred years. You'll get severe clusters of these quakes up, you know, Richter 7s and things like that, which you can see in that article on the volcanocafe.org, the Appian Fault. Anyway, the thing may be normal. It may, you know, it's not exceptional. It's just that it occurs very infrequently. I don't know whether that just signifies more volcanic activity. That was my first thought, and I started reading about it, and I thought, well, is it going to be a new volcano underneath it? But then when I realized that this has happened, you know, 200 or 300 years ago and before that over erratic periods of time, it may just be what happens as the tectonic plates, you know, grind against each other there, and they build up the fault pressure, and then it releases in a series of these things. But looking at the image that I've got there, that just, it's all over the place. I mean, it's like that whole area just goes like a crumpled piece of aluminum foil, you know, it just peaks all over the place for earthquake. So it's an area to watch, in spite of the fact they say it's a normal occurrence every few hundred years. As you say, with all the other tectonic stuff that we're seeing, larger earthquakes, volcanoes, you know, various places becoming active, it does signify to me that this is falling into line with the rest of the stuff that's happening around the joint.
Mm. Okay. So, we just have to wait and see if there are more earthquakes that, that happen.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's going to hit Rome or not. On that show images page, it's down about two, three rows underneath that, in big yellow in the middle. It says, which cities in the Mediterranean region were built on seven hills? And if you go to that subpage, gives you a bit of a, the scripture over these things. And then if you sublink, I'm just trying to find which link it is, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And we've got that. Compare the cities here. Okay. I come up with four cities in Athens and Istanbul and Jerusalem and Rome, all of which have the history of being built on seven hills. Now, Rome, of course, is the obvious one, but Rome is actually across the river from the Vatican. The Vatican is actually not built on the old city. It's in the city, but not on it. So the Colosseum, or the Pantheon, in Athens, Greece, is not built on the seven hills. It's built nearby on one of the hills. In Istanbul in Turkey, I don't know that you can argue the point, but the whole city is built on seven hills, and it was formed. It is bordered by the sea, and the Bosphorus and the Constantinople type structure there had a defensive wall running on the west side. You can see it if you click on that image, and that definitely defined Istanbul as a city of seven hills, and only that. There was no doubt that that was the city of seven hills. I've located them there, and if you click on the large version, you'll see little blue boxes around each hill behind that wall was probably built, in the time of Constantinople being the center of everything. But why this is interesting is this. We have in Turkey today a guy that is really a front runner, in my opinion, for either Antichrist or the second beast, the false prophet. That too is covered in the show images page, just left of that thing about the seven cities. If you click on that and you look on President Tayyip Erdogan of Turkey, this guy, he fits so many of the factors for being the Antichrist, false prophet, that between him and actual Antichrist of the first beast, we can say that Turkey is the city, Istanbul is the city to watch in Turkey where he rules, as referencing the city of seven hills. Anyway, it's I told you before when I set up that page of In Search of the Antichrist and the seven cities and stuff, that these were the candidates, people, and cities that I found. And it's up to us to look at news to see what, fits into that. And that's, I encourage people to do that and give us feedback on what they find.
Now, I always thought Jerusalem was built on seven hills. And just from looking at the maps you have on your site here, and we only got about 2 minutes to go before the break, you're saying that the walls of the city did not...
Jerusalem does that too. It does. And we know that that either the Antichrist or the false prophet, one of the two of them, is going to go in and profane the temple, the new temple, which isn't built yet. But looking at it, even the new temple, if they build it on the old site near Solomon's Stables at Mount Ophel, that would still be within the old city walls, as you can see in that image that I've got there.
Yeah.
So, let's narrow it down to Istanbul and Jerusalem then. And if the Pope has to leave because the Vatican's been bombed or something, I'm pretty sure he'll run over to Israel and set up a papal office there.
That'd be interesting.
Yep. Anyway, things to watch. We'll come back after the break. We'll go somewhere else, but... Keep an eye open.
Absolutely. Folks, you're listening to Stan Deo on this Tuesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, and just want to take this moment here to give you a quick update for the rest of the week while we have 1 minute remaining, if I can get the schedule up. I know we have, it's Thursday, we have Brandon House coming on, and tomorrow Pastor Langford will be on hour three, and we have somebody special coming on in the second hour, and then Friday we got another segmented show, but a really good show lined up.
Yeah, it's you know what? What we'll do is we'll lay this out. Really, just check HagmanReport.com for the details on this. But Stan Deo has a special 2017
go to
Trump.
Show images page at the top of the page. There you'll see seven. Was it seven items for 7 days?
No, I just, and my computer just crashed. So, gee whiz.
Coupon code is 2017 Trump.
Yeah.
And we'll hit on that again on the other side. We'll be right back. Stay with it.
If it's Tuesdays, it's Tuesdays with Stan, the real Indiana Jones, standeo.com. That's standeo.com, D-E-Y-O, for anyone new, of course. So thankful to have Stan with us. And one of the best, I got to tell you, one of the best offers I've seen in a long time, seven products, 25% off. With Hagman show code, okay, Hagman show code, and that is 2017 Trump. This is good until midnight on 7 November. Includes the seven items: The Cosmic Conspiracy, Final Edition, that is a fantastic book. Dare to Prepare, 5th edition, 2013, Encyclopedic in Nature, as is the, as is Prophetic Perils, End Times, Events Revealed. Holly really knocked it out of the park with that one. Gemstone Papers, The Prudent Places USA on CD. Oh, man. You can spend days going through that. Lectures and Interviews of Stan Deo, Townsend Brown Legacy, and the Gemstone Papers Part 1, Electricity. What a great offer. 25% off Trump, or 2017 Trump is the coupon code, and that's good until next Monday at midnight, or 7 November midnight. So take advantage of that, folks. Please go to standeo.com and on the show images page, or the very top middle show images page on standeo.com. There it lists, gives you the list. Have at it, man. Take advantage of it. Before we get back to Stan, very quickly, folks, I am just so excited because T.C. Joseph is just a marvelous writer. Do you have this yet? If not, think Christmas, which is next month. I can say that now. Next month is Christmas. If you celebrate Christmas, if you do exchange gifts, I can't think of a better gift than T.C. Joseph's This Generation series of novels. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families in a world where conspiracy theories and Bible prophecies collide. His novels move through recent history to the events that are just on our horizon. You know, stuff that Stan Deo talks about and gets into. His witty style. And he's got just this great wit in writing. Fascinating character development. What a great read. Not only will you folks love these books, but they can be a great tool to awaken friends and family members to the perilous times we face. Kirkus Review states that readers of End Times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Indeed, they are. Blue Ink Reviews, they call This Generation series of novels a thought-provoking series, absolutely riveting. Get your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series on Amazon.com. Do it today. Book one is Precipice. Book two is Pentecost. And here, if not already, or coming soon, book three, Penance. thisgenerationseries.com for more information. thisgenerationseries.com. You won't be sorry. Stan Deo is our guest, of course, on Tuesdays, and his 7 products, 7 days in May. Remember that? 25% off. 2017 Trump is the coupon code. Thank you, Stan, for making that, and Holly, too, for such a great offer. Really appreciate that. Took enough time. We're going to kick it back to you. Take us where you want us, where you want to go.
Okay, and just reminding folks that on our website there's a lot of news that Holly's been, you know, started putting up, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, starting to do it all. And one of the things she's got on our website there today is about the vote on getting more or legalizing marijuana growing and selling in various states. They used on 60 Minutes. They used Pueblo, Colorado, where we live, as the subject material for the whole show on the marijuana issue. And, you know, if you watch that, I'm sure there's ways to go back and watch if you haven't recorded that show. You'll see. Okay. Does that take us? Yeah, okay. Holly's got the link above the article there. It says, "Just Say No to Recreational Pot?" question mark. And you can go and see the documentary that we saw. Yeah, it's only about a 15-minute view, but it's showing you some of the problems that can occur. You know, the massive growth of this marijuana plants here. I mean, huge farms. But there is a downside, and living here, we've been able to talk to people that are tradesmen in various other places in Beulah up in the valley there, about 45 minutes from us, where they've seen these black, like Cadillac limousines almost, but these black Cadillac cars with the tinted windows racing, you know, 2 or 3 at a time at night, maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, down the back roads of Beulah Valley from where they're growing the marijuana and gosh knows what else. And they come racing through town at night, and people that are up that time of night do see them and hear them go through. So you've got, like, the mob, Mexican mob or whoever, I don't know, but the mob in these black Cadillac limos running to and fro up there in the valley. And then down here, there are so many places that sell marijuana. It's like there's probably more of those than there are, like, loaf and jug gas stations here. I mean, it's just, you know, within an arm's throw of here, I can say there's 1, 2, 3, at least 4 of them that I know that are within 7 minutes of the house here by car. So it brings in an element from out of state, out of country, some Russian, some South American, that you really don't want. And, you know, this is to tell people who are going to be voting, if they haven't already, in Colorado anyway, and other states that are going to be putting pot growing and legalization on the ballot, there is a real downside. You may get tax money and all that kind of stuff, but here in our neighborhood, the illegal growers of marijuana in our neighborhood rented 5 homes, and of course there was a big bust on them, and they were Cuban and Russian nationals, and they were growing it in these houses they just rented. Probably half a mile from us here in the suburb. Nobody knew. Well, none of us, people that live here knew. And it just, it takes up land that should be used for growing and other type of stuff, but it's very profitable, so people turn over.
Also attracting the homeless that are
on dope. Yeah, and Holly said it's also attracting the homeless that are hooked on dope. From other states to get here. And we have a back door to the post office, because we do so much business with them, we just come in the back door. And they were showing us the other day one of the big bins full of outgoing traffic from here in Pueblo West, and boxes and things. And the lady said to me, "Here, smell this package." And even with my bad sense of smell, I thought, "Wow, that's full of marijuana." And she says, "Yeah, we send a lot of these every week down to Florida from here. So it's not legal in Florida, but they're sending it through the mail because there's apparently no thing in place to say, smell your packages and don't let pot, go go out of the state." But it's not a good deal. It's not a good deal.
Stan, Eric the Tech and I were having, and Joe and I were all having a conversation here about that in Colorado. Do you see a lot of out of, because obviously you're right there at ground zero. Now, do you see a lot of out of state people coming in to Colorado and buying, I don't know, however they buy it. I mean, I don't know how you buy it, but
the quantities. I don't know because I don't frequent the places, but I mean, they're just so many of them. It's so common to find a dope place. Right next to the granite place where we got our countertops here in Pueblo, closer to Pueblo City instead of out here in the Pueblo West area. We were there the other day, and they are making huge, long buildings with girders are putting up and exhaust fans right there in the center of town almost. They're building these huge production lines for growing marijuana indoors in these big, I think there were four of them, and they were like, 100, 200 foot long things, each of them. And connected next to that is the main sales and distribution thing there, wholesales and retails of all the, gummy bears that have got dope in it and that kind of stuff. And as the documentary pointed out, they don't give you kind of the warning they should, like, on the little gummy bear candies, they're dope laced with marijuana. But they've had people looking at them saying, "Oh, these are nice. They taste good," and eating four or five of them and overdosing on THC, which is the marijuana goodie, and having to go to the hospital because they thought it was candy. I mean, well, it tastes like candy. They knew it was marijuana, but they didn't know how many they could take. And you've got quality control problems. You got sleazy growers that are like health standard is not there, and you can't tell from some of them how strong one batch is to the next. Governor is against that. So
yeah, I was just curious. I mean, we were really trying to get a handle on how, for example, you mentioned the package that smelled like marijuana.
Can you send us some gummy bears?
Yeah.
Well, what are friends for?
Yeah, exactly. And that was my other question too. I mean, do people from their regular ship out of state, and is there any? There's no oversight to that. I mean, like,
well,
can't
they're not
the
supposed
office?
To. They're not okay. supposed to. So they have people that are average Joe blogs or something that they give the stuff to and say, "Here, mail this to such and such." They have it by proxy, and they get around the law that way. And here's another thing. Now, I'm in favor of medical use, pain blocking marijuana products, but those should be a prescription. Those should be handled by a doctor prescribing for a client. It shouldn't be for recreational use. And I have tried that, as I've said before, and I a brownie, and it does work. It gave me relief from the pain I was suffering in my back for 3 days, just on, I think it was like a quarter of a brownie. And I was only disoriented for about an hour when I first took it, and I sat down in the living room with Holly and then went to bed and got up the next morning, and I forgot that I'd had any pain. I was up getting things done. I realized, it does help. Wow. So I'm in favor of that, but not this gross, retail, stuff for entertainment and recreation, because there's no laws in place, no product in place that you can stop a driver who's erratic on the road and say, "Let me give you a marijuana breath test," or whatever. There's nothing there. And there's no law that says you can't be on marijuana, I don't think, and driving. So
no, there is a law. It's a DWI, and I think they're developing some sort of road test. I was reading about that recently, maybe a few months back, that they're trying to develop a road test. Right now, what they do is, at least here in Pennsylvania, if they suspect that you're driving while intoxicated, they will give you take you and take your blood sample.
Then you could pick it up in the blood sample, yeah.
Right, in fact, but there's no fuel test to indicate if somebody's high while driving.
Well, and as Holly was just saying to me here while you were telling me that, the medical marijuana is not the thing that gives you the high. It's pain relief. They grow a certain kind of plant, for that reason. It's the balance of the chemicals in it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a big issue. We're getting all kinds of other drug traffic increases here. One of our friends has just recently retired from the law enforcement business here in Colorado, and he told us at dinner, he said, we can test your blood and your urine, but the blood particularly, for traces of marijuana usage, the THC, and we can get a hit on that from 30 days after you've taken one puff on a marijuana cigarette or eaten one gummy bear or whatever, for 30 days it's in your system, we can detect it. So if there were a quick blood test type thing, Joe, then maybe they can use that. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll have to look back into that.
Wow.
Well, if you're, I remember this from my troublemaking days. If it's like a one-time use, it doesn't usually stay that long. But if you use it reoccurring over a period of days, it can stay in your system up to 30 days, especially people with slower metabolisms. And
who is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
From my memory. I don't know anymore with what you're talking about now, how that works and how potent it is and how different it is. But
aren't you late for a community service show? I'm just kidding.
I don't go on Tuesday.
Joe was a bad boy, did you say?
Yeah, well, just a little bit, Stan.
Wow. I think we all have some history here and there, some or other, but that's the Lord forgives us, thank goodness.
Absolutely.
Amen to that. Yeah. So Stan, I got to ask you this. You know, here it is, a week to the day from the elections. Thoughts? I mean, wow. You know, the last since you were here last Tuesday to today, so much has changed.
Yeah. Do you think there's any merit to the FBI reopening these investigations and talking about them, or do you think? Because I'm of the mind to think this is a big distraction while they commit voter fraud and get Hillary elected. But some people believe that the FBI or some branch of the U.S. government is going to come and swoop in and save them. I'm not sure. And I guess it's possible if the right evidence is found, but it just seems that they always get what they want.
And you know, the whole thing, the whole election process this year could be a distraction and a method of retaining power with Obama staying there. I've said this many times before. And now that we're starting to hear from some of your listeners and some of our readers about dreams or visions that people have had over the last few years, and some even many years ago, for this black president being in power when the elections are halted by him because of irregularities that would make it impossible to have a fair election. And you can see this writing on the wall here, you know. If Hillary cannot be a legal candidate for various things that she's being accused of, or if she's going to be prosecuted, there's a strong case for let's delay the election until we can get a candidate on the Democrat side that's trustworthy and, you know, everybody's happy about it. This is, we're leading up to a crisis where we're going to see the end of, you know, America as we knew it. If Trump were to win, that'd be nice and everything for the Christian community, we think. But if Hillary were to win, it would be a disaster for Christians and Jews and ex-military and stuff, because they're all on her terrorist list. And we've been getting emails about this too, about the increase in rail cars with chains being welded to the floor to hold people in chains, take them to detention centers for terrorists. And since we qualify as terrorists in the Hillary and Obama playbook, we can expect if she wins that there will be a roundup of a lot of us. In fact, you know, in the early part of 2017, we may see a lot of our radio shows and the things we do here on the internet and our publications, our books and Christian material and lectures, all that be taken away. All of us be taken away. So I think it's a time for people that may not be in the spotlight of the pickup, you know, by the government to get all the materials they need, hard copies and stuff, videos or whatever they're going to do as a witness tool, and, you know, lock it away somewhere, because those of us who have been out in the forefront here are obvious people to remove by the administration when they take over. And we're very close to that moment. And they may take over for another reason, just civil war. We know that Soros thrives on coming into countries he's going to control to create division amongst the population between two or three factors, civil war, disorder, and when the heated division in the country. And by doing that, it lays the groundwork for civil disobedience and armed violence, whether it be with stones or bullets or whatever. So we're looking at things here that can happen between now and, say, middle of January next year or whatever. We're looking at things that could be the end of America. We've got prophetic visions of that. We've got, writings and stuff that tell us that. So
yeah.
That's how I see it. We're in a crisis mode here. In fact, in the Air Force, in the SAC base, it was stationed to in Texas, there was a little plaque on the wall that says, if you can keep your calm when everyone else around you is in panic mode, then you just don't understand the problem.
Sad to laugh at that, but I understand that.
Yeah.
What you said though, I mean, we are facing a crisis, and this is a manufactured crisis, I believe. But I think you're right. We're brought to this point for that purpose, or deliberately brought to a crisis point.
Well, back on the show images page, image four, about three rows down, new Russian over-the-horizon radar array. And that's an article in the Ham Radio Operators magazine that George, one of our friends, also sends me articles, and he sent me that. He's a ham radio operator, too. And he said, have a look at this. And the Russians are about to establish a new array of radar that was similar to the Woodpecker thing they used to have back 20 years ago, so that it was interrupting radio traffic for shortwave. And this new thing doesn't do that, but it with like the bup, 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 bup sound, they've smoothed it out. But it's an array that is set up to detect missiles, aircraft, drones, whatever, coming over the pole into Russia. They are getting ready for a confrontation with the only over-the-pole neighbor they've got, us. So, and that's in the press, okay? So, if we have civil disobedience here, for any reason, in martial law and rounding up of people, we will be weakened to the point that we're fair game for Russia and for China. I think Russia being the major player, wanting to move in and take over American assets and take over the country. The Chinese would find it more difficult. The Russians are more, Caucasian-looking, and the language, although it's a bit, different from English, is probably easier for people to adapt to. So as a takeover and occupying force, Russians would seem to be the logical choice between a Russian and a Chinese co-invasion of the country.
Do you think, Stan, do you think that this is why that there's been so much focus, so much blame? It seems like especially on the Democrat side, political Democrats or the progressives, they're blaming the Russians for the hacks. They're blaming the Russians. I mean, everything traces back to the Russians. Are we being programmed?
They're doing that. They're doing that, blaming the Russians on the hacks and stuff. But you've also got Trump sitting there and pushing on treaties with China and unfair trade balance, want to put tariffs on taxes on things, sure, back and forth. He's pushing on the Chinese that way. And the other side, of course, is pushing on the Russian hacking. So you're right. I agree. They're both being played up.
Okay. And it's just, you can feel it, Stan. And Holly's book, Prophetic Perils, my goodness. Folks, this dovetails, what we're talking about dovetails into that book, Prophetic Perils. If you don't have a copy, grab yourself a copy. And it's part of the special,
seven products in 7 days in November, right, at the top of show images page on standeo.com.
Yeah.
And you type 2017 Trump and you get 25% off.
That's a great deal. But I'm feeling this. Everyone's feeling this, that there's something coming. And we've been saying that for so long, but man, it looks like it's just rounding, getting ready right now to pop.
Another thing that's kind of being low-keyed in the press, but I think it's going to erupt into a real issue, is the Iranian general of the Quds forces, General Soleimani, Qasem Soleimani, he's wandering around in Iraq and helping to get rid of ISIS in various cities, but he's putting the Iranian kind of tag on Iraq now. The 10th picture, or picture number 10 that I've got on the show images page, takes you to an article that Earth Observatory has measuring the sulfur dioxide plume coming out of Mosul. And it's because in the war, the fighting, the battles they've been having there, they caught fire to a sulfur plant. And sulfur dioxide is the smell you get when you take the old-timey wooden matches and you strike them, and that kind of pungent odor you get just as you strike the match is sulfur dioxide. And now they've got a severe concentration of that because that thing is burning, going all the way down into the, you know, middle of Iraq near Baghdad, and some of it drifting over into Syria. And don't know how close that. Yeah, that's going right close to let's see, Aleppo's up there. Well, it's a little bit south of Aleppo, but anyway, it kind of was prophetic to see this, you know, because you know something smells in the Middle East, you know, and it's in Iraq, and I think we've got to watch Soleimani and the Iranian. They're going to take Iraq as a foothold, and that's territory between them and Saudi Arabia, and the Saudis don't like the Iranians. The Iranians don't like the Saudis. The Saudis are trying to buy nukes to fight the Iranians. It is a nightmare. It stinks to high heaven, and that's why I put that Earth Observatory image up there, because it's just so apropos for what is happening there.
Well, that's very interesting, and I have not heard about this. Stan, what's the chemical that they put inside natural gas to give it the odor that they do, that it's able to be detected? It kind of, I don't know if it's not a sulfur smell, but it has a similar type odor to it.
It's obviously not sulfur. What, to a burning match type thing, you mean?
No, what do they put in natural gas that gives it the... Because natural
it's
gas...
It's probably hydrogen sulfide, I'm trying to remember. It has a rotten egg smell, basically.
Yeah. Is that similar to a sulfur smell?
No, it's T-butyl mercaptan, T-butyl mercaptan. But it is similar to hydrogen sulfide and to the smell of rotten eggs. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Well, that's a big area.
Quick on that.
That covers.
Let's see. Yeah. Okay. Well, fantastic. Well, Stan, next. So the next time you're going to be with us, actually, we're at the end of the program. So the next time you're going to be with us is Election Day.
Oh, that will be fun.
Are you game?
Well, by the time we go to air, there will be some early results coming in on the East Coast.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. So we're excited that to have you on that day. And if you don't mind, just tell listeners again the 7 product special, so I don't screw it up here.
Oh, okay. Well, it's 7 products for 7 days until midnight, Election Day, 7th November. And if you click on that link, or go straight to the shopping cart if you want, but we've got links directly to all the products that are on that offer. And that's 7 products for 7 days in November. It's just in yellow above that picture of the Earth geoid. We haven't talked about it, but it's a nice color. It's underneath there on the first row. You click on that, it'll take you over to see about the Cosmic Conspiracy, Dare to Prepare, Gemstone Papers, Prudent Places, Prophetic Perils, Lectures and Interviews of Stan on Eden and Solomon, and the Townsend Brown Legacy Flash Drive. That's the 7. And the code required is the one you've given. And I'll give it one more time before we leave, because we're close. It's 2017 Trump. And that will get you your 25% discount until midnight, Election Day.
Perfect. Fantastic. And folks, it's a generous offer. Take advantage of it. Christmas is coming next month. If you celebrate Christmas, certainly this
That's
is a good thing. So, Stan, thank you so much for your gift of time tonight. And tell Holly as well that we appreciate you coming on the air. And
Alrighty.
God bless.
Thank you. Lord right. bless you now. See you next week.
Thank you. Folks, that'll do it for us tonight. Stan Deo, standeo.com, every Tuesday night. Tomorrow night, of course, the third hour, Pastor David Langford. And tune in tomorrow night. Tune in every night, but please tune in tomorrow night. Ladies and gentlemen, again, from the bottom of our hearts, we want to say thank you so much. Thank you so much for your support of our program. we could not do this without you. And again, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for your financial support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for being part of the Hagman family. God bless.
Have a good night.